God is good. God is good. I'm so thankful for the Lord. I'm so thankful for church. Man, it dawns on me all the time that that God has me do this, you know, that God has me minister His Word. And what a precious thing to be able to do this, you know, with God's people, that He's entrusted me with His people. Praise the Lord. But God's got good things for us here tonight. I hope you came excited and stirred, expecting good things. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I wasn't real sure what I was going to preach on, you know, and of course, it's funny how sometimes, you know, God always leads me, I don't know about you, but He always leads me towards that place of just trusting Him, amen? Now, when I stand here, I say, I don't know what I'm going to preach on, I mean, there's several different ways you can go, you know. At any given time, there's things stirring in my heart, you know. You know, the Bible says to be ready in season and out of season. Doesn't mean that I come to, you know, church on Saturday without, you know, no preparation or no time in the Word, you know, that I just showed up and decided Saturday afternoon to get into the Word. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is the direction specifically for each service isn't always clear. In fact, all week long, I kind of had a direction for church here tonight. And I believe that the Lord took me in a different direction today as I was finalizing the things and putting them together. But I love how God speaks to me, you know, and how He shows me things. But it always comes down to just trusting in Him. And how many know that on any given day, you don't necessarily feel like it? You know, if it's a nice day out or something, you don't necessarily want to keep cooped up in the house and you know, studying the Word or anything like that. Or, you know, sometimes you're just distracted by things in life. Amen. And I'm not just speaking as a pastor. I'm speaking as a Christian. Amen. But there's always things that can distract us and pull us away from the things that we're supposed to do. But if we endeavor to live a life after God, it doesn't matter what kinds of things are, God will still use us. Amen. And so He always leads me into this place of just trusting Him, you know, and at first a scripture came to me and I thought, well, maybe this is the vein, seemed right that this was the vein that I was going to go. And so I wrote that scripture down and I started studying it. And then another scripture came to me and I'm like, well, I don't even see how these two scriptures connect. Praise the Lord. Glory to God, that's just the way it is. I didn't know. And I just got that sense in my spirit. I didn't hear the audible voice of God, but I just like that still small voice in my spirit. It just kind of seemed to me that God spoke to me and said, just trust me. You know, so all right, so I'll just write down whatever scriptures He gives me, praise the Lord. By the time I was done, it made a lot of sense to me, and there was a direction and a message, praise the Lord, and glory to God for it. And, you know, I just love that. But, you know, that's I'm coming to church, and I'm going to preach a message, so I have to be prepared. But how many know that that same principle applies to your life? Amen? So, you're going through life and you don't know what to do. You're going through life and you don't know how to answer whatever you're facing, or you don't know what to do on a particular day. What do? Just trust God. Yeah. Just turn to Him and just tell Him how good He's been to you. Go to Him and tell Him, remind Him of His Word and praise the Lord. Get in the Word maybe a little bit, pray a little bit, but just trust Him. And what does trust do? Trust relaxes. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're all uptight, if you're all wound up, if you're, the old wind up toys, you know how they work, right? You turn that thing and there's a spring in there and it winds that spring. And as you wind that spring, there's a lot of tension. Amen? Right? And they just go until they run out of steam. Well, you know, that might seem like a good thing for a wind-up toy, but it's not a good thing for a Christian. Amen? We shouldn't be so wound up that we're just going to go in any direction. Amen? Because it'll just go in any direction. Whoever sits it down, that's the direction it'll go. But our directions need to be planned and purposeful. Amen? So we follow the Lord, follow the Holy Spirit, and He always takes us there. And so if you're wound up tight and you don't know what to do, well, just start trusting God. Praise the Lord. If you're wound up tight and you don't know what to do, just start trusting God. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm glad you're excited about that. Hallelujah. Today's message is called Out of Your Mind. Question mark? That's actually out of your mind, I guess, is because the question mark's there, so we got to say it right. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have got to be out of our minds. Hallelujah. You've got to be out of your mind. You got to be nuts. Well, that's not what I'm talking about, but praise the Lord. You know, today's message, we're going to find out that Jesus was out of His mind. Praise the Lord. You know, some people might not like that, might not like that I said that, but we're going to actually see the Bible says that Jesus was out of His mind. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to see how this connects to us. But, you know, I'm excited for tonight's message because it'll help us greatly. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We know that Jesus did all things with purpose and He did things that God wanted Him to do. And we're going to be people that do the same thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's turn to our first scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:18. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It says here, in my Bible anyways, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Hallelujah. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. In other words, those who have the wrong mindset, those who, you know, really, if you're following God, you have the right mindset. Praise the Lord. And the message of the cross isn't foolishness to you. It makes sense to you. When the Bible says it's foolishness here, what it's talking about is that in normal life, it would be foolish, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of things that God directs us to do, a lot of things that the Bible leads us into just seem like foolishness. And if you weren't working according to the principles of Scripture, if you weren't working for God, amen, if you were kind of doing things by your own, then it would be foolishness. Praise the Lord. The things that the Bible tells us, they don't work unless God is real. In fact, all the direction of God, you know, you can see a little bit of, simple things like loving people. Of course, that's good. You know, that's direction of God. But God gives us a lot more direction than just to love people. Amen. He gives us direction on how to follow Him, how to live for Him, and how to increase in what He has for us and how to grab hold of it. But, it's foolishness if you were in the world just going to try these things. But it says here that it's foolishness to those who are perishing. In other words, those who don't have it, those who haven't got hold of it. Amen. But I would present to you today that there's a lot of Christians who the message of the cross is foolishness. Wow. And now, what I mean by the message of the cross, of course, the message of the cross is not just that Jesus died and went to heaven. It's not just that He died and for our sins and went to heaven so that we could be saved. Praise the Lord for that. But it's everything that's entailed in it. Amen. All the things that the cross has got us. You know, we were singing that song and I was glad I got into it about His authority. And it's good to talk about Jesus' authority, but we have to realize that Jesus' authority gave us authority. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so the message of the cross, He didn't give that to us until He was doing what He was doing. Amen. And so the message of the cross is that Jesus died and went to heaven and saved us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anyone excited for that? Praise the Lord. We'd have a party afterwards about it. But the message of the cross is also equally as much that Christ died for us to make us partakers of what God had for us, to make us partakers of it. In fact, we're told if we take up our cross and follow Him daily, that we will be partakers of it. Now, you know, of course, everybody, a lot of religious people like the idea of taking up your cross and abasing yourself and just being worthless and just beaten down and all that stuff and broken. But that's not what it's saying either. That's just a twist. You can't even see that in Scripture. I don't really know. Unless you really want to twist Scripture, you can get that, I suppose. But that's not something I don't want to work to get misery. You know what I'm saying? How many Christians work to get misery? Are you listening to me? Are we here tonight? Praise the Lord. How many Christians are working to get misery? I don't want to work to get misery. I want the blessings of God. So why do we hold on to these things? Well, because we have a mind that's perishing. A lot of times, if we don't renew our mind, praise the Lord, then we still think the same way we always thought. That's why we have to wash the stinking thinking. We got to get rid of it. We got to be brainwashed. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. So I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of Christians that are perishing. There's a lot of Christians that aren't doing so good, aren't there? Yeah, have you ever known a Christian? Have you ever been a Christian that's just not doing so good? What are you doing? You're not flourishing, you're perishing. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If something's going down, it's dying, it's perishing. It's not, it's expiring. It's not being helpful anymore. Amen. You know, food, when it starts getting older, what does it start doing? It starts perishing, but it starts losing its nutrients as it does that, as it rots and decays. You know, it releases that it's not as good as when it's fresh. Amen. Well, Christians are the same way. When we're not fresh in the Word, we're not fresh in what God wants to do in us, we're perishing.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of Christians that reject the message of the cross.
Yep.
What are they? They are Christians that are perishing. Yep. They're Christians that are going without. They're Christians that are lacking the things that God has meant to increase them. Amen? Yep. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. We don't want to be of those people. Amen? But to those of us who are being saved, it is the very power of God. Hallelujah. The message of the cross is the power of God. See, so many people are looking for the power of God in places it's not. You know, they're praying to God for the power of God. He says it's in the message of the cross. Yeah, it's in the Word of God. That's where the power is. The power of God isn't somewhere out there in the universe, and we got to pray it in. All the power that we ever need is right here with us right now. It's right here with us. We have all the power. The message of the cross is the power of God. If you believe it. If you don't, you're perishing. You're perishing without it. There are Christians who are perishing. Now, that doesn't, when I say perishing, it doesn't mean they're going to hell. There's lots of Christians that are perishing that aren't going to hell. I mean, we're all dying. You know, our bodies are dying. They're going through that process, you know. Amen. I guess that's what they say it is. I don't like to look at it that way, though. I'm just not going to accept that. I mean, I know that our body's expiring, you know. The length of time that it's good has an expiration date on it, it's so to speak, you know what I mean? But I don't want to do this. As long as I'm here, I'm going to be living. Amen. I guess that would be the message of the cross, too. That's new revelation, and I'm just going to start claiming that for myself. But I'm not dying, I'm living. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm dying till I'm done, and then I'll die. Or Jesus will come back. One of the two things will happen. But I'm not going to go into death dying. I'm going to go into death living. Amen. Praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's see, just sometimes it's a little tweak in our way of thinking. Amen. Because when you start thinking, I'm living, well, man, you got lots of time then, don't you? You got as much time as you need. Yeah. Praise the Lord. How much time do I need? Well, until I get it done. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the message of the cross is life. It's the power of God. The power of God causes life. It causes life to be there. And we will live a life that's full, a life that's flourishing, if we live according to the message of the cross, if we receive it, amen? But one of those things that we have to do is we have to get out of our minds. We have to get crazy out of our minds, amen? We got to get to that place where we don't think the way that we always thought. Why? Because the way we always thought is the way of perishing. I said the way we always thought was a way of perishing. That's not what God has for us. God has increased for us, but it first starts with how we think, amen? Praise God, hallelujah. Let's turn me to Psalm 127. I know we're going to a few scriptures here that, you know, we are familiar with, but that's okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll get there. Psalm 127. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Psalm 127, 1. Amen. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and I want to focus on 2, actually. Glory to God. We all know this scripture. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain to build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Now, you know, that might be a little bit hard to understand. We're going to look at it here in the Amplified in a minute. Actually, let's go there right now and look at it in the Amplified. Praise God. In the Amplified, it says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to take rest late, to eat the bread of anxious toil, for he gives blessings to his beloved in sleep. Now, doesn't that make it sound like you get to understand it a little bit better, right? Amen. He gives blessings to his beloved in sleep. What is sleep? It's rest. Amen. You can't sleep if you're not if you're all wound up tight. If you know what I mean? Have you ever been there? Have you ever tossed and turned all night long? You know, if your mind's on something, you're trying to figure something out, you know, you're all tossed. But the Bible says that he gives blessings to his beloved in sleep, in rest. Amen. It says it is vain. So it tells us it's vain several times. Amen. That vain, the word vain means empty, worthless, or pointless. It's pointless to be anxious, to be all stirred up. It's pointless to build something without God's direction. It's pointless to think you're going to protect something without God backing you up. It's pointless to be able to labor. Now, listen, it's not saying it's pointless to labor. But it's pointless to labor in anxiety. It's pointless to labor in from a place of not trusting God. We have to know that what we do is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Because if we know that we're doing things that are pleasing to Him, we know we're going to get through and go to the other side of it. Amen. We know that but we have to know that too. That's the key. We have to know some things, Christians. Now, I know I preach along these lines a lot. We bring up these ideas of trusting God a lot, that we have to think differently. But we do. Amen. I'm not just saying that because it's something we can't just know it. We have to actually do it. This is maybe one of the most important things in the whole word in thinking, is thinking differently and putting our actions to that. Amen. Because everything else hinges on that. Everything else hinges on how we see God or how we believe God. Amen. I've had so much, I've had way more than enough of Christians who talk about God as though He's some kind of evil dictator. You know, they're always talking about Him from some standpoint, like He's trying to hinder them or trying to keep them from going into things. And Christians act like it all the time. How do they act like, praise the Lord. How do they act like that? Whenever something bad happens, the first thing they go to is, why God? They go to why God, like God did it. When you say, why God, when you're mad and you say, why God, you're asking God why He did it. Yeah. That's what you're doing. You're saying, I don't trust You enough that whatever's happening in my life, that You must have had something to do with this, some part of this. And that to even think that way for a second is just wholly wrong. Because God does not have His hand in everything. In fact, if it doesn't happen, it's because God's hand isn't in it. And so that's what the scripture is saying here. It's vain for us to live this way. It's vain for us to go through life just trying to build what we want to build and then just have God come in and just expect God is going to bless it somehow. No, we have to be purposeful in what we do. But in order to do it, we got to get out of our minds. We have to step out. We got to think the way God thinks. We have to look at things the way that God thought. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God, it is vain for us to do that. It's empty. It's worthless. It's pointless. We can live a whole life here thinking that we're building something. And then at the end of our life or when we pass on to the next life, find out that it was all in vain because we were just doing it on our own accord. Is there anyone here that wants to live that way? Praise the Lord. Is there anyone here don't we want to walk in everything God has for us? Then the first step to that is just simply trusting God. We just got to trust Him at His word. We just got to believe Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And things don't always look like we want them to look. When we think about this, sometimes have you ever been to that place where you just don't know what you want? Like, you know, I was telling my wife on the way down here, you know, I said, I've been feeling really nostalgic lately, and I don't really know why, but I kind of like it, and I kind of don't like it. And the reason I like it is because I like some of the thoughts, some of the feelings, but I don't like it because I don't like some of the, not knowing what it is I want. I don't like not knowing what it is that's, you know what I mean, being melancholy or whatever, you know, getting into that thought process. I don't like that. I don't want to be in that place. I like it when I have clear direction. I like it when I know what I'm doing. Amen. And so often, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. So often, we don't look at our lives so much in the moment of what's really happening or what's really transpiring. We always have our thoughts either on something we don't have or something in the past that we don't have anymore. Amen. Something that we're not, some place we're not quite at. We have to learn to be people who are content with where we're at right now. We have to learn to be people who are content with what's going on right now. If we're people that are in the blessing of the Lord, if we're people that are actually following after God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the message of the cross, is that we know that we have all the things that we need currently for today. You know, Jesus didn't tell us to pray, you know, to thank God for our daily bread. Or Paul didn't tell us to be thankful for such things as we have if we didn't have something. Amen. But people are always projecting their thoughts on other places instead of where they're at right now. And you know, the one thing that I've learned is that no matter in life, no matter what I've done, no matter what I've gotten, if it wasn't God, if it wasn't from His glory, then it wasn't something that blessed me. It wasn't something that continually blessed me. Even though I thought that I wanted it, I get to that point and it's just like, it's another thing. It's another place. It's a, you know, no matter what it is. And so we have to learn to be, to have our hearts and our minds on the Lord. Because this is how we enjoy life. This is how we actually go through it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Praise God. God is good. So we're going back to 1 Corinthians. Praise God. Chapter 3, verse 9. It says here, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." Praise the Lord. In other words, we are what God is, we're what He's using. We're what He's making. We are God's. We are His fellow. Well, in context, God says, or Paul says here, that the ministers are God's fellow workers. Praise the Lord. And you're what we're working on. Amen. You are God's field. You are God's building. You are the thing that is supposed to produce. You are the thing that is supposed to be the glory. You know, I love when you go to a city. One of the things I love about cities is that they have all these big buildings. They have all these beautiful buildings. They have all kinds of different buildings. And what are people always doing in cities? They're constantly tearing something down and making something better. They're trying to put up something nicer. Or if there's something that's really, really valuable, really beautiful, they try to preserve it, right? They're trying to do that. You know, they have all these, there's constantly something. That's what the body of Christ is. God is always trying to do things in us. And why do they do that? It's glory. It brings glory to the creators. It brings glory to the city. It brings glory when things look nice. Amen. And God's trying to do that same thing on the inside of us. He's trying to transform us on the inside, so our outside circumstances are transformed into that place that reflects His glory. We are His building. We are His field. What does it mean to be His field? It means that we are the fruit that comes out of the labor. Amen. So our lives should reflect it. You guys are the fruit that comes out of the labor of this ministry. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. The things that you get in life, the things you deal with in life, the things that you see in your life will be a reflection of the things that you grab onto that you are taught. And that's a good thing, but sometimes it's also a scary thing, isn't it? Amen. Sometimes we're like, hey, you know, I don't really, but you know, we were talking with Liz before service, and we kind of bringing this up that, you know, sometimes we look at everything in the moment, every decision we make in the moment, and we try to judge ourselves based on that, which is really foolishness, because God doesn't. God looks at us over the course of time. You know, if faithfulness is proven over time, then God's looking at us over time. He's not looking at the one mistake you made. God doesn't care about the one mistake you made as long as you don't keep making it. Amen. And so if you mess up here and you screwed it up, even if you screwed it up pretty bad, God will still, you can still get beyond that fairly simply, because God is, that's what He's trying to do. He's always working. He's always tilling. You know, it'd be like a farmer coming out to his field and saying, you know what? I tilled it last year and I had good crops, but now it looks like garbage. No, what does he do? He tills it again, works it again. He fertilizes again. He puts more into the field again. He replants, amen? If something isn't producing, then he goes out and figures why. Maybe they change the drainage or something like that. Maybe they add something to the farm. Maybe they do all kinds of things in farming. But we're the same way. God will add things and take away things. Sometimes things won't work. Sometimes things that were there, you know, one of the things I love about driving by a field is every time you drive by a field that's being worked, every single year you see new piles of rocks on the edge of the field. I just happen to love rocks. Amen. And so whenever I see that, I have this thing where I want them. Like I want to go take them. But of course, you can't just go take something that's not yours, even though they'd probably be happy that I took them. But you always see piles of rocks on the edge of fields. What are they doing? They go through, they till up the ground, and they throw them over to the side. They have a rock pile. But you know, they always add to that. Yeah. Isn't it funny how every once in a while another rock will come up and they have to do it? Or sometimes when I see a new planting in the field, you'll drive by and you'll see a big rock sitting out there, you know, and it's still there. Something they got to work around. Well, you know, there's things in our own lives that we came into this not perfect. We came in, we were rocky soil, amen. And what does the husbandman do? He comes in and he tills up the ground. The farmer comes in and tills up the ground and the rocks that are there, the rock is, nothing good is going to grow, so they move the rocks. They take it out. Well, God's doing the same thing. And so if you have a little rock in your life, if you have a little place in your life, you got to learn to think about it right. Well, you got to learn to think about the stuff that you deal with in your own life. You got to learn to think about it right. Not every little bad decision or bad move you make is going to affect the course of all human history. Glory to God. And it's not going to affect the course of your history. You just let God take it out. Amen. And move on and have a better field next year or have a better field the next day or whatever, you know. Praise God. The farmer, can you imagine? It would be the equivalent. And this is what we are sometimes. We're kind of the equivalent of a farmer that goes out for the fresh spring. You know, winter's gone. They go out into their field to start tilling it up. And there's a rock there. And they got off the tractor. They got down, just started whining, crying. Just start weeping. Oh my gosh, there's a rock here. Listen, that's all it is sometimes in your life. It's just a rock. Just move it and get on with life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's what God's intended us to do. He's like, you're going to have rocks. Well, praise. Sometimes somebody will throw a rock in the field. You know what I mean? The farmer still ain't going to cry about it. What's he just move the rock and gets on with the tilling? Amen. But it's the same thing with us. So we have to understand that God is working in us and that there's a process, but we have to have the right mind to understand that He is working in us. Yeah. Amen. I love how the Bible says that He is faithful to complete the work that He started. Yeah. So stop freaking out about it. Let Him work it, you know, work it in you, work it out of you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to see this. Let's turn to Mark 3. Anybody getting help tonight? Praise the Lord. You know, it's the devil that will get you into depression. It's never God. And so if you are, so let me tell you this. God does not cause depression, ever. He doesn't cause sadness, ever. He doesn't cause frustration, ever. He's the Spirit of peace, Jehovah Shalom. Yeah, Jehovah Shalom. He's the God of peace. That means there's no condemnation. Doesn't Romans tell us that? There's no condemnation. There's no frustration in God. Jesus said, take upon you my yoke. To be light and easy. But he said, be yoked to him, yeah. Praise the Lord. We be yoked to God. Yeah. Why? Because it's light and easy. Yeah. There's no frustration. Right. So if you're frustrated, it's not God. Right. If you're upset by something that you've done even, it's not God. If you're sitting there and you're just feeling convicted and condemned and you just can't get over it. I mean, have you ever done that? You've done something you knew was wrong. You went out and did it. Then you repented before God and then you still felt bad about it. Yeah. You know that it's not God. He's not making you feel bad about it. So those thoughts are thoughts of the devil. They're not of God. And so if you're thinking those thoughts, you're in your head. You're not in God's head. You're not thinking the way He's thinking. That's why the Word of God is so important to us, because those kinds of things, that line of thinking, self-condemnation, will keep you from the plan of God. It will keep you from going forward. I don't know why I'm on all this. Praise the Lord. But it will keep you from going forward in what God has you to do. Yeah. If I thought about every bad thing I did, I certainly wouldn't be pastoring today because I wouldn't be qualified. In fact, I wasn't qualified to pastor from that standpoint, from how I lived my life before. I never could be. In fact, you know, there's things that we can do in life, you know, we can do right and we should do right. You know, we can do things that technically qualify us, but in God's standard, we're never good enough to be used. We're never good enough to be ones that can be fruitful. Yeah. Amen. God makes us fruitful. Amen. And so you bring your mess into the equation. God was okay with that. Yeah. Amen. Well, I'm not saying that he's okay with keeping your mess. Amen. He wants to clean it up. You know, it'd be like the same as somebody throwing rocks in the field and the farmer just keeping them there. That's not God's plan. That's not what he wants to do. God wants to remove those. But it's not a process that's going to destroy you. It's not a process that's going to run you down. You know what I'm saying? Well, praise God. So Mark 3 and verse 20. Glory to God. We see, you know, this is Jesus here. Section is called House Divided Cannot Stand. We all probably know these scriptures. And then the multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. So what we know was happening here is that Jesus, because of his ministry, because of how intense everything was, because of the miracles and all these wonderful things happening, that the people were flocking to Jesus. And sometimes the crowds were so great that they couldn't even stop to eat or couldn't stop to get rest, because that's what happens. Amen. Praise the Lord. You got to have the right character to have that much. Yeah, because you could get a superstar mentality pretty quick. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 21, but when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. I told you, Jesus was out of his mind. The Bible says that Jesus was out of his mind. Isn't that what it says here? He, Jesus, is out of his mind. Amen. I didn't tell you that he is, you know, literally out, but he was out of his mind. A lot of people don't understand this. They were very right when they said he was out of his mind, although they were looking at it from a different perspective. Why? Because things are the things of God are foolishness to them that are perishing. These people were all perishing. They're looking at the things he's doing. They're thinking he's nuts. He's out of his mind. And he was, because he was led by the Spirit. He wasn't led by his mind. He wasn't thinking about his own thoughts. He was being led by God. He was following what God was doing. He followed what God showed him. Remember, Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do, right? Praise the Lord. What was he? He was out of his mind. He wasn't thinking the way everybody thinks. If he thought the way everybody thinks, then he had never been able to accomplish the things that he did. And just the same, if you think the way the rest of the world thinks, you'll never accomplish things for God. You'll never accomplish the things that he has for you. You'll never will. We have to get out of our minds. We have to get to that place where we, and we're going to see why here in a minute. Amen. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub. That was a name for Satan, right? And by the ruler of demons, he casts out demons. So he called them to himself and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a king, now I want you to remember this. This is maybe one of the most important scriptures, one of the top ones you'll ever hear. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. It can't stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Is this principle just working for kingdoms and houses? No. It works for everything. If you have a business partner and one partner is going in one way and the other partner is going the other way, what's going to happen? There'll be a split. The business won't stand. If you have a marriage and the husband's going one way and the wife's going the other way, what's going to happen? It's going to be split. Where your spouse is going is where you're going, or it should be. Otherwise, you don't have a good marriage. And if it's not going that way, then you do get together and figure out, okay, what do we have to do to get going in the same direction? Amen. That's what you do. You just do it. Why? Because you know it can't stand. We have to remember this principle with everything. This is one of those awesome principles of the Word that is so profound. Amen. And if Satan is risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. You are God's building. I want to bring this up to you in this way because I wanted you to see something, a connection here that you need. God said certain things about us. Jesus said certain things about us. The Bible says certain things about us, who we are, what we have, what's ours, all this kind of stuff. Amen. What abilities we have, what things we can and can't do. All these things. Doesn't the Bible set that up? What if you don't believe it? You're a house divided. You've just become a building that's divided. You've just become a field that rejects the seed. If you can't believe the word, if you can't trust the word, you are literally a field that's rejecting the seed. And if the farmer went out and planted and you're the field and God's the sower, praise the Lord, and he goes out and he plants in that field, which is your heart. He plants the word there, but you reject it. You are throwing the seed that God has intended to produce. You're throwing it out, and now it doesn't produce anything. Nothing. This is why Christians don't produce what they're supposed to, because their house is divided. They say, well, I could never do that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. They come up in their heads reasons why they can't. They start getting in their mind and getting mental, and they figure out reasons why they can't do what God's calling them to do. Listen, if you're called to a local church, you're called to do everything that local church is called to do. Every person in that church is called to. Some people connect to it, some people don't. As a pastor now for 5.5 years, even without this church, in our Mayville church, I have seen this over and over and over again. I have seen people that come in and connect to what God is doing, and they produce much harvest, much yield, praise the Lord. And then I've seen people that come in and don't connect at all, and they produce nothing. And they walk away empty-handed. And when they walk away, they wonder, and they say, well, all that stuff must not be true. Because they cast out the seed. They're a field that spits the seed back at the farmer. And they wonder why there's no produce. Listen, Christians, if we sit in these churches, if we sit in churches like this, teach us the truth, and we sit here perpetually sad, perpetually depressed, perpetually beaten up, we are a house divided. If you're constantly saying, oh, it's always so bad, it's always this, it's always that, you are a house divided. You are called into the house of God. He says certain things about you, and you're saying it's not true. Wow. You're throwing the seed back at him. That's what Christians do all the time. Yeah. Christians are throwing the seed. They're saying, God, I'm not healed. Wow. Seed back at God. God, we don't have enough to make it. Seed back at God. Yeah. Oh, Lord, I don't think I could ever do that. Seed back at God. Everything that he says about you, you're casting it back. Yeah. Bible said, didn't the Bible say that all things are possible to him who believes? Yeah. Didn't Jesus say that? Yeah. All things are possible to him who believes. Yeah. Him who receives the seed and lets it grow in the right soil. Yeah. Lets God will remove the rocks. Yeah. You ain't even got to remove the rocks. That's what I love about the Lord. He will work things out of you and work things into you if you let him. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of things I've changed over the years that I didn't. I mean, things that I did a certain way when I came in that I don't do that way anymore. And it isn't because some man sat there and told me I couldn't. It's because all of a sudden the Lord started dealing with my heart. Ooh, here's a rock. When you got something in your heart that you know you got to deal with, not condemnation, but something in your heart, you're like, that's not right here.
Yeah.
There's something not right about that. What is that? That's a rock God's trying to take out of his field. Because you are his field.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think you're knowing how good this is. What I'm saying to you, praise the Lord. God's trying to remove rocks out of you. You got to let him remove them. You don't get condemned about it. You don't get convicted about it. You just say, oh, that's not right. That's not supposed to be there. Amen. So we move it out of the way so the plowing's easier. And we move it out of the way so the growing's easier. Amen. Because God wants to produce in us. Amen. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds a strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Do you know how Satan plunders the house of the Christian? He binds a strong man. Who is a strong man? Is a strong man God? No, the strong man is a Christian. The Bible said you are more than a conqueror. The Bible says that you are overcomers. Praise the Lord. What was that song we sang? We sang, overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What's your testimony? What are you saying? What are you saying about your situation? Are you looking at your situation and answering it like Jesus? Or are you answering it like the devil wants you to answer it? How? What's your situation? We can't do this. I can't do that. I can't make it. Yeah, absolutely. What you're doing is you are giving the testimony that the devil wants you to give, not the testimony that God wants you to give. You are not given and overcoming it. And so what's happened is Satan has gotten into your house and he has bound the strong man and he keeps you from producing. God is not keeping you from producing. You have to remember this. God does not keep us from producing. The devil does. And we do because we act in line with the devil. But we got to get out of our minds. We got to be crazy in our thinking. Amen. We can't think like the world thinks anymore. The Bible, you know, the world will tell you why you got to go to church so much. The world will tell you why you got to go to church at all. You don't need to have church. You can have church. You know, there's a lot of Christians that think you can have church outside of church.
Yeah.
In other words, having church by yourself in the woods or something like that. You can't have church there. No. Why? Because church is about the gathering of the saints. It is not about you yourself. Right. Praise the Lord. God does not work in us individually by ourselves forever. He works in us individually as we're connected to the body. Right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just always think about body parts. Amen. If I cut my finger off and throw it over there, it won't last very long. Why? Because the lifeblood isn't flowing. Same way with a Christian that's outside of church, the lifeblood isn't flowing to them. My wife and I have seen this even in faithful people before. Yeah. People go 2, 3, 4 weeks missing church, and then all of a sudden, it's like they start changing. You can hear it in their voice. You can hear it. Why? They're not getting that filling. They're not getting that blood. Now, praise God. That's the truth. Now, is that because God has stopped the blood flow? No, it's because they disconnected from the blood flow. And so the same way Christians, even the Christians that come to church and are faithful, sometimes disconnect from the blood flow with the words of their testimony. They get downtrodden and downcast. Why? Because they take the lies to heart. Listen, you are not defeated. You're not beaten. Satan hasn't overcome you. Amen. We need to stir each other. We need to remind. Now, listen, we all go through periods of time where we feel that way. Sometimes we feel like we have the heaviness on us, but Paul talked about that. He did. He felt, he said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. In other words, they felt it, the pressure so great that they just felt like they were going to be wiped out. But what does the Bible say? Pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Praise the Lord. So what is something that's not destroyed? It gets built up again. Something that's not broken is still useful. Something that's not destroyed will keep going. Amen. And be the energizer buddy. You keep going and keep going and keep going. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we cannot be a house divided. A house divided is in your, it can be natural, but it's also in our own minds. If we are a person, the Bible tells us that if we are a double-minded man, we are in James. Praise God, is it James 1 or James 2? It says, James 1, I think, somewhere around the 8th verse or something. It says, if a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Amen. What's double-minded? It's a house divided. Right. Praise the Lord. What does double-minded mean? I think this way, and I think this way. I think God is good, but I think God is taking things from me. I think God is good, but I think that this is whatever chaos in my life is God's divine purpose. Yeah. Double-minded. It can't stand. There's no strength to it. Amen? Amen? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. So we see that God, we understand that God has plans for us, but those plans aren't going to, they're not going to be of any fruit unless we get in the right mindset about them. Amen? Unless we receive them. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Remember, they said that Jesus was out of his mind? He was the Son of God. So what does that tell us about Jesus? That we know by Scripture anyways. But just by this Scripture, we understand, praise God, that if he was the Son of God and the sons of God are led by the Spirit, Jesus was led by the Spirit. What he did according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. He wasn't somebody who was waking in vain. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. He wasn't somebody who was watching in vain. He was somebody who followed the Spirit. And this is what we have to get proficient at. We have to get good at is we have to learn how to follow the Spirit. Because when we follow the Spirit, it always works out for us. It's when we follow our own plan or our own ways. See, when we start having opinions about the Word, that's when it starts breaking down for us. When we start having opinions about what we should do or not, we should just go to the Word. Now, listen, I understand that some people look at different things in the Word differently, but there's some basic things in the Word you just can't get away from. Right. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. And sometimes God reveals more to one because they need it, and more of something else to someone else because they need it. Praise the Lord. And it all has to do with where God's taken us. Amen? You know, I've been learning this lately as I grow as a pastor. There's people that we follow, amen? There's people I follow. There's people I feed off of, ministers in the faith. And so what I've learned as I've grown is that sometimes some of these ministers get connected to other ministers that I'm not connected to. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not connected to them. That doesn't mean that I have to shun them. But that doesn't mean that I get connected to them either. Because why? I follow where God has connected me, in the vein that he's connected me. And he'll let me know if that's wrong. He'll let me know if that's not right. Amen? But one thing I can say is this, that the ones I'm connected to aren't in opposition to what God's doing in the group that he's connected me with. Amen? In other words, I'm not connected to someone who is teaching a completely opposite doctrine than what we're teaching. You know what I mean? And that's how people get confused sometimes. But sometimes God will connect us in certain veins because we need more of this. I was asking actually recently, just the other day, I was asking Pastor Michael about a certain ministry that I'm aware of. And I said, you know, they do some things very different than what we would teach. But at the same time, they seem pretty, and I love the ministry, I love the people, I love the pastors. But it's different. You understand what I mean? And so as I look at it, I think, well, it just seems odd to me because that's not how we are trained. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about something sinful. You understand? You're not allowed to do sinful things no matter who you are. But it's just different. And so I was asking him about it. And he said, you know, they're from a different area, a different place, and there's different things that are happening. So perhaps God has them doing this. And I wasn't asking because I was trying to find fault with them. I was just curious is all it was. Have you ever been curious about something? Amen? And so I just wanted to know. I just wanted to know, have better understanding on it. And he said, well, sometimes God will do something because he's kind of leading them in a different direction. And there's a different cultures and there's different things, you know. And so it's not bad that it's different. It's just different. That's why certain things that aren't written, you can't just say, well, this is the way that it is. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. I'll give you one example. One way that we're taught, you know, of course, we're taught that if you minister, you wear a suit and tie. If you're a man, amen. Praise God. That's not scriptural, though. It ain't scriptural. Does that mean that if a minister doesn't, that they're no good? No, absolutely not. I just think that it does matter from the standpoint that it's about bringing God your best as a minister, and I think that's important. But that doesn't mean that God could never use somebody who doesn't. Amen? And so that's what we have to understand. And as long as we have people in this pulpit, as far as I can see in the future, that they'll be in line with that same understanding. But that's, you know, it doesn't make other people bad is what I'm saying, you know? So we just got to make sure that we're not judgmental about things that there isn't scripture on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You are in no place to judge where God's leading somebody else. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. So now I want to look back at Mark 3:27. Amen. After reading all this, or after reading Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. No one can bind, enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds a strong man. And then he will plunder his house. And so we have to understand that if we're not in line with what God's doing, if we're not having the mindset of God, or if we don't agree, we align ourselves with the Word of God, if we allow other thoughts to come in, again, he binds the house. That's not being led by the Spirit of God. God is not leading us to a place of destruction. He's leading us to a place of blessing, a place of prosperity, a place of health, a place of freedom, glory to God, the freedom in the Word. But why are so many Christians bound? Because they have the wrong mindset. They have the wrong mind. They're not out of their mind. They're in their mind too much. And if you're a person who, listen, I'm a person who can lean towards a side of being in my mind, in my head. You know what I mean? Be in my head. I can think about, oh my gosh, but what I have to do, I have to change those thoughts. I have to redirect myself all the time. Course correct. Praise God. Because if I don't, we're bound. And I don't want to be bound. You don't want to be bound. Amen? Praise God. Well, let's look at John. Let's turn to John 5. We don't want our houses plundered. So often, the reason why the devil is gaining ground on Christians is because they have they're double-minded. They profess God, they profess Him as Savior, but then when it comes time they need saving, they forget. They forget that He's Savior. What do you need saving in? Where's your life at? What trial are you going through? Don't you need saving from it? Isn't that what you desire? Be saved from your trial? What are you going through that you need saved? Don't you have a Savior? Did you receive a Savior? Is He a Savior for just one thing? Is He a Savior just once? Or is He a Savior that continually saves? Aren't you glad? Aren't you blessed? Praise the Lord. You're blessed and you're glad. Why? Because your Savior is constantly saving. But just like you received Him the first time, you have to receive it every single other time. If you don't receive your salvation, you will not walk in salvation. Do you know there are people that will literally go to hell simply because they will not receive the salvation? They believe it. They believe it's real. They believe it's there for them, but they don't receive it. And because they don't receive it, they can't be saved. If you say I can't ever be saved, I know that Jesus died for my sins. Do you know there's Christians that literally say it? I've heard it. Christians that literally say, I know Jesus died for my sins, but I think that I'm too bad. I don't think He can save me. That's a person who can offer up their salvation. Say, why? Because that's not professing faith that He's able to save you. Right. Yeah, amen. And it's the same thing with everything else in life. If you look at your life and you say, oh, it's such a mess. It's such a wreck. We're just never going to get out of this. Then you don't trust God. And your Savior ain't coming to save you. You can pray all day, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. But you're still sitting there confessing about how bad it is because you're in your mind. You're in the wrong place. You're being bound. You're being kept. You're being put in bondage because of what the devil, you're listening to the devil and not the Word. Listen, and at some point we have to get to the place where we just speak the truth and we just say, wait a minute, we are the people of truth. So the truth says that I am free because I abide with Him. And if you're not free, it's because you're not abiding with Him. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. And listen, I'm going to tell you something else. It doesn't have to be hard. Praise God. I said it doesn't have to be hard. Do you know that God is not difficult? The ways of the Lord are not difficult. What does light and easy mean to you? It means not difficult to me. Amen? Light and easy means if it's not light and easy, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. Yeah, don't throw anything at me, but it's the truth. If it's not light and easy, it's not our fault, or not God's fault, it's our fault. It's because we're double-minded. Yes. Why? Because Jesus said it would be light and easy, and we either believe it or we don't. Right. If we don't believe it, we're double-minded. We go without. Wow. Amen. Hallelujah. We got to get out of our minds. We got to be out of our minds. You want people to say about you, yeah, man, you're out of your mind. Like, you're like, you're darn Skippy, I'm out of my mind. Praise the Lord. I got a new mind. I got a renewed mind. I got a fresh outlook on life. Amen. I look at it differently because I got a Savior. Amen. And guess what? He saves me today. Amen. And tomorrow when I'm in a heap of mess tomorrow, He's going to save me then too. And a week from now when the devil dumps something else on my doorstep, He's going to come in and clean up that mess too. Why? Because He's my Savior. And when someone else throws another rock in the field, guess what? He's my Savior. And guess what? When you've been walking with God for years and all of a sudden something else comes up, rises to the surface, another rock bubbles to the surface, guess what? That Savior comes in and He takes that rock out and put it to the side if you let Him. But if you want to keep it, He'll let you keep it. Why? Because God's a perfect gentleman. He ain't going to make you get rid of your rocks. Why? They're your rocks. I said they're your rocks. You do with your rocks what you want to do with them. Amen? That's why, you know what? I drive by the field and I sometimes see a big rock in the ditch and I want to grab that one too. I think, man, that one's closer to the road. So certainly I could grab that one, but I don't. Amen? But it's still that farmer's rock. If I was grabbing that rock, he had every right to drive by and say, hey, why are you taking my rock? I'd be like, you cast it in the ditch. He said, it's my rock. I put it anywhere I want. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. If He wants to throw His rock in the ditch and not let me have it, He can do that. The same thing is with God. If you want to keep your rocks, what's He going to say about it? He's like, I made you a free creature. I made you free. How many times do we hear that we got freedom in Christ? That's freedom to be able to accept or reject Him. Yeah. God will let you reject the whole thing. He'll say, hey, you know what? You don't have to accept any of this. You can reject it all. Some people say, well, I'll take half of it. He said, all right, I'll give you half a blessing then. Yeah, you get as much as you get. Why? Christian, we can get the whole kit and caboodle. Amen. Let's get it. I don't know what a kit and caboodle is, but we want the whole thing. Amen. Right. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God wants us blessed. Yeah. He wants us full. Hallelujah. But we can't be bound by the strong man, right? We can't let the devil in and bind the strong man of our hearts and then take over and take residence. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I mean, there's things I'm doing. This, there's so many scriptures that flood in, but praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. John 5. We there yet?
Yeah.
John 5, 19. Praise the Lord. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Who's the Son?
Jesus.
Yeah, but who else is the Son? Those who are led by the Spirit of God, right? The Son can do nothing of himself.
Yeah.
Women, you're a son too. I don't know how it works, but that God told you.
Yeah.
Amen? The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son does also, or the Son also does in like manner. What is he doing? Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain to build. Jesus built according to the direction of the Lord.
Yeah.
He was a son, so he was led by the Spirit of God. You are sons and daughters, praise the Lord, so you will be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. Is Jesus the only son that the Father wants to show things to? No, because the Holy Spirit's job, who Jesus sent to be with us, say, he sent him to be with me. Praise the Lord. He sent him to be with you. The Holy Spirit is going to do what? He's going to remind you of what Jesus said, and he's going to reveal to you what the Father wants you to know. In other words, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Amen?
Amen.
For the Father loves the Son. Say, he loves the Son. That includes me. He didn't just love Jesus. He loves you too. Amen. He didn't just like Jesus. He likes you too. He didn't just want Jesus. He wants you too. Hallelujah. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel.
Amen.
Isn't that great that God just wanted to show him some things? Just to make him marvel.
Yeah.
Do you think God stopped wanting to make people marvel? Don't you love making people marvel?
Yeah.
Do you ever like that? You ever get a good idea? Like, I love making my wife marvel. You know what I mean? Like, when she's coming home and I've been there or something, I'm like, well, sometimes I'm just like, I'm gonna do something. And I get so excited about it that I can't even let her just discover it on her own. I'm like, hey, what'd you see when you walked in? The other day, I put up some molding on her entry door that I hadn't put up. I said, you notice anything when you walked in the door? I was going to let her just discover it on her own, but I couldn't. I said, oh, yeah, I did something in the bathroom, too. Did you go in there and see? You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Why? Because you like people to marvel.
Yeah.
Amen? You like it when people recognize, right?
Yeah.
Well, praise God. God likes it when people recognize, too. That's the whole worship thing, right? Is recognizing that God does great things.
Yeah.
But how can we worship God and say, God, you do great things,
yeah,
but then believe he doesn't do great things?
Right.
I mean, like, you know what worship is for? It's for us to recognize God.
Yeah.
It's for us to see something. Worship, the reason the Bible tells us to worship, to put on worship, to put on the garment of praise. You know why the Bible says that? It says, for the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. Why would God do that? Oh, because he's so into himself? No, because when we put on the garment of praise, we start realizing, wait a minute. God is good. And the devil's been dumping this garbage on my front steps, and that garbage isn't mine. God is good. Praise the Lord. So garment of praise will remind you of God's goodness. And what does that do? It stirs faith in you. And when it stirs faith in you, you get to the place where you can receive, perceiving that they had faith to be healed. Right? Well, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So anyways, Father loves us. He wants to make us marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Now, I'm going to present you with something. We're just about to the end. Praise the Lord. Honor means to fix value upon. That's what it means. When you honor something, you fix a value on it. You highly esteem it. You fix value upon it. Amen? If you honor your spouse, you're going to sow into them.
Yeah.
You're going to do everything you can for them. If you honor God, you're going to sow into him. Yeah. You're going to do everything you can for him. If you honor the house of God, you're going to sow into God,
yeah.
into the house of God. Amen. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. We keep going, but I'll stop there. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We honor, we fix value upon. And then when we honor the Son, if we don't honor the Son, we don't honor the Father who sent him. Amen. Now let's turn real quick. We're just about to close. 1 John 2. And we're going to see about honoring. This is how we honor the Son. 1 John 2, verse 5. Verses 5 and 6. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Remember, God was talking about love in the Son, so he honors him. So if we love what we do, keep God's word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as Jesus walked, just as he walked. Praise the Lord. So how do we honor him? By doing the things he told us to do. By living the way that he told us to live, by living in faith, by living as people who produce. If we're his field and we're his building, praise the Lord, then being the best field and building that we can possibly be. How we honor God is to walk the way that Jesus walked, in faith. I said in faith, that we trust God and we trust him enough to say, you know what? No matter what trial it is, we're going through to the other side. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying you can't feel it. You can feel the trial. You're allowed to feel it. Sometimes you're even allowed to be sad for a minute. But I'm going to tell you what, if you stay there, it's your own choice. If you stay there, it's your own choice. The only way you get out is to do it. Jesus lived out of his mind. If we are truly his, then we will live out of our minds too. If we truly want to honor God, then we have to get to that place where we live out of our minds. And how do we do it? It has to be a daily choice. I'm not going to do this way anymore. I'm not going to take this anymore. We have to respond to the things that are negative in our life. We have to respond to the things that aren't working. We have to respond to the things that are hindrances. We have to respond to them. Amen? Because those are all trying to keep us from being the fruit producers that God intends us to be. Amen?